written some pretty strong words on the board this morning. And the Lord has been, last Sunday, I'll just say when I was here, the Lord had given me a message and the Lord kind of did a U-turn during the service and shared something else. So I still have that message with me. I thought the Lord would have us share it this out today. And through the week, the Lord began talking to me so personally. And so what I'm sharing this morning was for me first. And lest there's ever any question, when the minister preaches, it was for the preacher first. I have a brother in the Lord, and it's an older saint. One of the older saints among us has been carrying a burden for me. Sent me a text this week, and I appreciate the love that he has shown. And in his text, he told me, he said, I believe the Lord has more work for you to do. And he said, the devil doesn't like what you preach. And the Lord began, that was a real encouragement to me. I don't know if you've ever been encouraged if someone came along and said, so-and-so doesn't like you. In and of itself, that may not sound real encouraging. But begin to think about it and meditated on it. And Renee talked about it all through the week about certain things. And it came so forcibly. Do you know that Satan hates you this morning? Satan hates you. By definition, hate is intense hostility. It is passionate dislike. Satan hates you this morning. Now, we would say, Brother Michael, why couldn't you preach about that God loves us? God does love you this morning, and that is the antithesis of Satan hating us. That the Lord loves us, and that is why we are where we are today spiritually. It is because the love of God. But we are in a spiritual battle this morning. Each and every one of us has a nemesis, and it is Satan. And he hates us, and it is his purpose to destroy you. Satan hates truth. Satan hates holiness. He's battling it on every hand. He's doing what he can to tear down the principles of holiness and purity and godliness. Satan hates truth. He hates what is right. Satan hates it when you pray. And when you have a burden and you bring it to God, Satan hates that. He hates it passionately this morning when you come to the altar and you consecrate something to the Lord. Satan hates it. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and reveals something in your life that could help you draw closer to the Lord. Satan hates it when you say yes to the Lord. Do you know it is helpful when we recognize who our enemy is this morning? You see, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes you might say, that person doesn't like me, or that person is causing me problems. Yes, sometimes people cause us problems, but folks, Satan is doing everything he can to destroy our walk with God this morning. He did it from the beginning in the garden. Adam and Eve had a good thing with the Lord. They had a wonderful place. Their needs were met. They had communion with God, and Satan hated what they had with God. If you have an experience with God this morning, I just want to warn you, and at least you can know that you do have an enemy today. And there is one, and his name is Satan, that is doing everything he can to cause you to walk away from holiness. He will try to cause you, if you won't just go back to the world, he wants us to come and sit right here and lose our connection with God. We are not connected with God because we came to church service this morning. We are connected with God when we are in communion with Him, living in obedience throughout the week. The enemy is trying to destroy whatever connection you have with God. The enemy is trying to destroy the good, godly relationships that you have with other people. If you are married this morning, Satan hates marriage. He hates it. He is doing everything that he can to destroy people's marriages. The enemy is doing everything that he can to destroy the relationships between brothers and sisters. I'm talking about blood brothers and sisters. The enemy is doing whatever he can to drive wedges in relationships. The enemy is doing everything he can to divide God's people. And we can sit here and smile and shake one another's hands. The devil hates unity. So he's going to do whatever he can to divide God's people, because when God's people are divided, you begin to feel lonely. And when you begin to feel lonely, you are more prone to the devices of the enemy. We need one another to stand beside one another, to pray for one another, to love one another. But if he can isolate us, it means we're more exposed, and the enemy will capitalize on that. I know it's simplistic this morning, but young people and children, the devil is not your friend. So when there are things working in your life, you just need to stop sometimes and say, okay, is this the devil or is this God doing this? Yeah, I think that's the devil. That's the devil trying to cause me. Then recognize who it is and take a stand against it. Now Jesus told Peter over in Luke chapter 22, verse 31, he said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy strength fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knew that Peter was going to fail. You know, Satan loves failure. He loves your failure. It's because he hates you. And he wants you to fail. But think about Judas and Peter. Did they not both fail the Lord? And you know that Satan was delighted with that. But yet Peter repented and he wept and he was restored in a relationship with God, whereas Judas fell isolated and alone to the point that he took his own life. That's why David said, my soul is continually in my hand. Folks, Satan hates you this morning, but if you will love God, the power of God's love is greater than the hate of Satan. It's greater. It's more powerful. So even in your failure, if you will recognize the enemy is going to try to cause me to say, well, I failed, I just can't do it, I'm just going to walk away in discouragement. Who here has not ever experienced that feeling? After maybe you just messed up. And your tendency or the temptation was, I can't do it. I don't want to fail again. And the devil comes along and says, you might as well just walk away. You shouldn't even go to church this morning. Anybody ever heard that from the enemy? It was the enemy, right? It'd be easier just not even to go. You know what people think about you anyway. Wait, where did that come from? Was that God? Do you realize that the enemy, Satan, is the father of what? The father of lies. So when you hear that whisper and you say, you know, they don't like you anyway. You know, they don't care for, they don't like you anyway. They won't miss you anyway. Who was that? Was that something to encourage you? Was that something to draw you closer to the Lord? Or is it possible that it was the enemy trying to make you feel isolated so you will have impaired judgment in your decision making? Satan hates you. He desires to have each and every one of us. But I am so thankful to know that Jesus has prayed for us too. That our faith fail not when we are weak and when we are needy, that Jesus Christ is praying for us and mediating for us. And although we have an enemy this morning, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. Isn't that a blessing this morning? If there are strongholds in your life today, Jesus Christ came because he knew Satan hated us. And Jesus came and died on the cross that through the power of the blood, we can have victory over the devil. So when the devil comes along, we have authority through Jesus Christ to rebuke the devil. There was one brother, and I know I've shared it before, he was driving down the road and the devil was just pestering him and pestering him till finally he just pulled over the car and he opened up the door and he said, "Out." When he testified to it, he said, "I wasn't going to waste more than one word on the devil, but I just said, out." And he had to go. And he went on rejoicing and praising God. Folks, sometimes we entertain the devil too much. Well, let's see here. I need to pray about that. No, out. I'm going to pray for my faith. I'm going to pray that God would give me victory. I'm going to pray for the Lord to give me the strength and the love and the forgiveness that I need. But I don't have to get into a lengthy discussion with the devil. When you know it is Satan, don't waste your spiritual energy on getting in a dialogue with him. Lord, there's a scripture, and Paul was talking about people. He says, "Save me from unreasonable men." Have you ever had a discussion with someone that was just unreasonable? Didn't matter what you said, they always have a comeback. And then, when they see that they're losing it on the facts, then they get personal. You know, then they try to tear you down as a person. That's petty. But there are people like that. There are people like that. If they can't get it on the facts, they'll turn and get personal because, "Lord, save me from unreasonable men." But that's how the enemy is. And there's too much time being spent on talking with the devil. Folks, that's a no-win situation. You have authority to say out. You have authority in the name of Jesus to rebuke the devil. He's not your friend. He desires to have you and to destroy your home, your relationships, and your communion with God. Scripture over in 1 Peter 5, very, very familiar passage. In the 7th verse, he said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." What do we do when we start feeling burdened down with the weights of life? Scripture says, cast your care on him. It's talking about Jesus now. He cares for you. But he said, be sober. Be vigilant. Be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil. Do you know that's what Satan means? Definition of Satan means adversary. Accuser. You have an accuser this morning. It's the devil. And he said you have an adversary, and he's as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Folks, stand true in the faith this morning and resist the devil. We have authority over him. But you know, if a lion is right in front of you, you know, that's kind of a scary thing. Now, I've seen wild lions before that were not caged, but thankfully I was in a vehicle. Now, I have been in a cage with a leopard or a cheetah, and I was really nervous. It was a cheetah, and then we walked inside the cage. They said it was all right. And you know, when you go to pet it, you're kind of like, okay, what's going to happen here? Because, I mean, the thing had been out in the wild, then it's grown as a young one, and then they raised it a little bit, but that was a little scary. But you know what a lion will do even if he's not in your presence? He roars in the ground. And birds and animals and everything for long distances can hear that sound. And it brings fear to them. You know, that's what the devil wants to do in our life. He wants to roar so that we are paralyzed. When we hear the roar of the lion, people freeze. And they're paralyzed. And they can't move. And then he can come to get us. If you hear the roar of the lion this morning, just recognize what it is. Ah, that's the devil. Okay then, now you know how to fight. Now you know what to do. That's not God. That's not true. It's not holy. It's not pure. It's not lovely. And it's sure not a good report. It's from the devil. We're not ignorant concerning his devices this morning. So when you want to get paralyzed, just ask yourself, who is this? Oh, yeah, it's him again. It's Satan. I recognize him. I recognize his roar. So resist him. Be steadfast in the faith this morning. And then the scripture went on to say, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after you have suffered a while. I thought he was just talking about the devil. Have you ever tied that together? He was talking about the devil as a lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's saying, hey, by the way, these afflictions and these hard things that you're going through, there's a lot of other people that are experiencing that too. But and after you suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you and strengthen you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It's like, wait, you talked about the devil and you talked about suffering and then you're saying to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Do you know this morning I was so encouraged personally this week when I began to consider. Renee and I had some pretty major catastrophic reverses recently. And we was like, Lord, why? And we were literally almost numb. And it was like, Lord, why? And then we got that text. You know what? I asked Renee, I said, just what if this was the devil? What if it was? Because we say, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Lord, why did you? I don't understand. I don't understand this morning. But what if it was the devil? Because do you remember the story of Job? And Satan was walking the earth, and he still is. And he's kind of looking around, seeing how people are living their life. And God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the enemy, and you can read it on your own time if you want. But there it's in Job chapter 1. And the devil kind of said, yeah, I saw him. But and God said, well, he's perfect and upright. And he said, yes, but you know what, God? You put a hedge around him. You know, you've been pretty good to this man. Of course he'd serve you. Would a man serve God? Would a man fear God for naught? I mean, are we going to serve God? And you know what God said? All right, devil. You prove him. And you can, I'm going to take the hedge away. You can do whatever you want, but you can't take his life. You can't take his life. And so, you know the story. He lost his children. He lost all of his material things. In an essence, he lost his wife, didn't he? In a sense, the community, curse God and die. Is not there one person that can stand by me and encourage me in the Lord? And even his wife told him to curse God and die. But yet, he did not charge God. This morning, if our eyes could be opened up to see the power of the enemy that is working all around our lives, I wonder how it would change our perspective on some things. How far, and this is what Renee and I talked about this week, but I told her, I said, you know what? If the Lord took down a hedge, and the devil's saying, how far can I push before they break? How far can I push before they say, this isn't worth it? How far? How far can the devil push in your life before you give up? You have an adversary. But if you will keep your faith in God in the middle of the fire, and I am so thankful for the visitation of the Spirit. And I know I'm speaking a little personally this morning, if you will give me that liberty. But in the middle of questions, in the middle of things just flat out not making sense, I was able to raise my hand and give God glory because I know my Redeemer liveth this morning. I know He lives. I don't understand why everything happens like it does, but I know my Redeemer liveth. And this morning, I can get up here and recommend Him to you. And if you are in a battle and you are in a test, yes, there is an enemy, and yes, sometimes God says, excuse me, God says, I'm going to take the hedge away because I can trust them. I don't want to prove unfaithful to the trust of God. So if the devil comes along and says, Brother Randy, I'm going to, devil, go ahead. Brother Randy's left saying, why has God done this? He's saying, I could trust Him. What an honor. What an honor. Are you willing to be honored through suffering and through trial and through things that don't make sense? Will we too maintain our integrity, or will we throw our hands up? Folks, Jesus came that we could live a life of victory this morning. And we can through the power of God. We mentioned John 8, verse 44. The devil, he was talking to the Pharisees, he said, you're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He's a taker of life. He said he abode not in truth because there's no truth in him. Folks, the devil is a liar. Young people, listen, when the devil comes along and whispers to you, it's not worth it to serve the Lord, or you don't have to, you know what, the devil hates modesty too, did you know that? He hates it. He hates purity. He hates godly living. And then when you hear that whisper, say, you know what, it's not that important. You know those old fogies there, you know, mom and dad and the preacher and Sunday, they just don't get it. No, we get it this morning. We have an adversary, and he's a liar. You know how many people that have been deceived when the enemy came along with the pleasure of sin and says it's fun? And you know what? You know what is the worst lie is when there's a little bit of truth to it. It's not just when it's 100%. It is more believable when he can add a little bit of truth to it. There is some fun in sin. Did y'all get that? There is some pleasure out in the world. For a little bit. But the end result is heartache. The end result is brokenness. It will break relationships. It will break your marriage. It will break communion that you had with your parents or with your children. And most of all, it will break communion with God. And eventually, you will have eternity. In eternal separation from God in hell, because I listened to the lie of the enemy when he said, oh, it's okay. No, he's a liar this morning. So when he comes along and starts talking, you don't need to argue with him. Recognize he's a liar, and I'm not going to give him the time of day. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. Thank the Lord for that power this morning. Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil. He came that we could have life this morning. When Jesus died, the devil thought he had won. He lost, didn't he? Jesus rose from the dead. So are we willing then? Speaking personally again. Thought about what the brother told me. He said, the devil doesn't like what you preach. I told Renee, I said, you know what? The devil can do everything he can to break everything, things that are good in our lives. The devil can take all of our money. He can take a lot of the plans that we have for the future. He can take all those things. But you know what? What he cannot take is our integrity with God. He cannot take our salvation because our faith is fixed. The saints this morning, fix your faith in the Lord. When the reverses come, you can pray. You can look to the Lord. You can be strong. And with that, this is not a message of defeat this morning. Don't misunderstand me. Yes, Satan hates you, but through the power of God's love, we can hold our head high this morning. And we can still recommend the Lord to the world. Even when you're suffering, even when you're going through reverses, because as the song said, I have found a greater treasure. I found a richer treasure, and it fadeth not away. The things of this world are going to come and go. But folks, if you have salvation, you have something to hold on to this morning. Young people, do not allow the enemy to steal your relationship with God. And I'll tell you, the battle for you young people a lot of times is in the things of this world. The gods of this world. Fashion, entertainment, music, sports, a lot of the things that are drawing on people. Folks, the devil is a liar, and he's going to do everything he can to undermine your relationship with God. To let your affections go out other places, but the Scripture says, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Do y'all get the devil's not your friend this morning? Look at what he did to Samson. Here, Samson would be the icon of manhood. Strong man. Someone probably good, handsome and strong. But he listened to the devil. And then you look at Joseph, who was tempted the same way. And Joseph said, how can I do this thing? How can I do this thing? And at the expense of my reputation being tarnished, I'm going to leave because I'm going to maintain my integrity with God. So we have power this morning. Trials come to all of us. But through Jesus Christ, we have the power to stay saved and keep the victory. Thank the Lord. This is why also Jesus said when His disciples came back rejoicing, He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He wasn't talking about Satan being up in the celestial heaven with God. He was very directly referencing the disciples saying, we're casting out devils. Anybody that teaches differently is taking it out of context. Go read what the Bible says. They said the devils are subject to us. And Jesus is like, yes, I know. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He had authority lifted up in men's lives, but now through the power of Jesus Christ, the devil is subject to us. So yes, the devil hates us. But thank God we have power over the enemy this morning. He can take our health. He can take all that, but folks, He can't take our soul. The Scripture in Revelation 12 will be done here shortly. In Revelation chapter 12, the Scripture says the accuser of the brethren has been, what? Cast down. The accuser, the one that says, you're not saved. You can't make it. You might as well give up. It's not worth fighting for. The accuser of the brethren has been cast down. And it said they overcame him. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. In other words, even if I die through persecution in truth, Satan cannot take my soul. Because folks, when we are in the hand of God this morning, we are in a very safe place. So this is why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I think we'll conclude here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, this is why Paul said in verse 8, we are troubled on every side. But he didn't stop there, did he? He said, but we're not distressed. He said, we're perplexed. In other words, I don't understand. But he said, we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. And he went on to say then, all things are for your sake. Verse 15, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. And then he said, for which cause we faint not. For though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction. Is anybody afflicted? Any reverses? Any people, are there people in your lives that are causing you trouble? Are there financial things that have just been very difficult right now? All right. Though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, it's just for a moment, saints. It's not going to last. So if your health isn't good, one day we're going to be resurrected and have a glorified body and never be sick again. If the tears come in this life, if you will maintain your faith, one day is going to come that all the tears are going to be wiped away and there's not going to be any sorrow anymore. The inward man is renewed day by day. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Say this morning, thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory. Yes, Satan hates you, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. Young people, be steadfast. Don't move. Always. That means not giving up ever. Always abounding. That doesn't sound like someone that's lost their enthusiasm for the Lord, does it? He said, abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So you suffer financially and you suffer physically and you suffer here and suffer there. Folks, the Lord is more interested in the things of the Spirit this morning, and ours is the victory through Jesus Christ. So let's keep our faith. Let's recognize the enemy for who he is and recognize that through Jesus Christ, we still today have power over Satan. Amen.